coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends. Another captivating new episode of Huntsville Home Video. As you're listening today, you may find yourself listening to today's episode out of two devices at the same time. Maybe you're holding two iPhones in your hand at the same time. Maybe you're going to be randomly flipping and somersaulting onto things when you walk into a new room. There might be doves that appear because we're on that John Woo shit, baby.
Possibly some slow motion.
You might end up in a Mexican standoff before the end of the day.
Holy shit. Uh-huh. How many people are in this Mexican standoff, may I ask?
At least 7 to 10. Possibly more.
Possibly 50.
God damn. Welcome, my friends. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. How are you, friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good because we're going to be talking about a movie that, A, you have never seen.
Correct.
That you've wanted to see.
Correct.
Pretty much since we started this podcast over 100 episodes ago.
Correct.
Yep. And I've kept you waiting this long.
Correct.
And we've decided to wait so that we could celebrate the 25th anniversary of the summer of 97 when this movie came out. We talked about Men in Black last week.
Which is totally what we meant to do.
Yep.
We totally meant to
100%
do it.
100% planned. Didn't just happenstance our way into that shit.
Nah. We do total research over here.
Yep, exactly.
We know what we're doing at any given moment.
That's right. Last week's movie that we talked about, Men in Black, that was the number one grossing summer movie of 1997. Do you know what the number two movie was?
Was it Face Off?
It was The Lost World.
In
fact, as it turns out, you have seen a lot of movies that came out in the summer of 97.
I know, and it has pissed you off.
I was like, oh, man, we could just do summer of 97 movies like Air Force One.
Seen it.
Like Con Air.
Seen it.
Like Event Horizon.
Seen it.
What the fuck?
Seen that one, too.
This whole podcast is about shit you ain't ever seen because you ain't never seen nothing.
Apparently, I was active in 97.
Apparently, you were getting down with some films. I am proud to say that one of those movies that came out in the summer of 97, we've already reviewed, The Fifth Element.
Yes.
Big bada boom. Yeah.
I love that you remember that. Not me.
That's all right. I mean, I've seen the movie probably a dozen times. You've seen it once.
Right. That's true. Or possibly twice. I don't remember.
But today we are introducing you to Face Off, a movie that, like we said, you've wanted to see for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're also introducing you to the director, John Woo.
Have we not done another John Woo?
No. In fact, if we were to have done one before this, I would have chosen to introduce you to a movie called Hard Boiled.
Right.
Which is just fucking mwah, chef's kiss. I love it. And you may remember a movie that we did way back early on.
Probably not.
Called Shoot 'Em Up.
Ah, I remember that one.
A lot of John Woo influence in that one.
I can understand.
You understand it now? You get it now?
Mm-hmm. I see the parallels.
So yeah, today I'll be talking a lot about that John Woo shit, as if you couldn't probably pick up on some things in this movie that you go, oh, I bet that's in a John Woo movie. I bet those are John Woo staples. A lot of them in this one. And we get an over-the-top fucking Nick Cage. We get John Travolta doing some shit. And we don't even know if you like it or not yet, so we better find out. Leanne Foster, coming to you from the summer of 1997, what did you think about the, what number was it?
God, Jack!
Fifth highest grossing movie of the summer of 97.
That hurt somebody's eardrums because I can see the sound waves
hurt
of
mine.
It.
And I'm right here next to you.
I'm a loud bitch.
What did you think of Face Off?
This movie is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit, bro. I had such a freaking blast watching this movie. Like this, like I had so much fun watching what was going on my screen. I felt like a kid watching like a superhero movie.
Oh, like, shit.
Like I was so into this movie because it's just fucking wild and bonkers.
Uh-huh.
And like I, again, this is one of those movies where I remember when this movie came out. Like, I remember being a kid and this movie coming out and it was like, oh, they switch faces? What the hell is going on here, right? And it was like a big to-do and I never watched it. I would see it on TV and I'm like, I gotta wait until I can watch the unedited movie, right?
Sure,
like the not-made-for-TV version, right? And I just never got to it. So I've anticipated watching this movie like for so long. And then it checked off all the boxes. Again, it is so fucking ridiculous, but I was in it hook, line, and sinker. Every trope I needed was there. Like, it was wild. Like, I had so much fun. Fucking jam.
Excellent.
Yeah!
That is the exact reaction that I wanted.
Yeah! Like, this is the most fun I've had watching a movie, I feel like, in a while.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I was just all in.
So, going back to the flick I watched, or that I mentioned earlier, Shoot 'Em Up.
Uh-huh.
A lot of John Woo-isms there. You had a lot of fun with that one, too. Like, you just love a big, dumb action movie like I love a big, dumb action movie.
I do love a big, dumb action movie. And there were parts of this that were like, this is dumb. Love it, though.
Yep.
I totally fell for everything. We talked about how I love the double guns. There's a bunch of double guns in this motherfucker. There's a lot of explosions. We have boats. We have everything. We fight on every element. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that being said, there are three other John Woo movies that you are going to fucking love.
Okay.
Like you are going to love them so hard.
Perfect.
Hard Boiled is hands down my favorite John Woo movie. The Killer is another very, very good John Woo movie. So John Woo is he's a Chinese director from Hong Kong. He started out, you know, when he was making movies, he made a movie called A Better Tomorrow, which was the third movie I was going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
A Better Tomorrow, The Killer, Hard Boiled, and somewhere in the middle there, he made a movie called Bullet in the Head. And these movies were all basically just an audition for him to come over to America and start making movies here.
Oh, fantastic.
So Hard Boiled was the movie that put, like, I take that back. A Better Tomorrow put him on the map in China. And they're like, oh, shit, this dude can do some shit.
Okay.
And, like, Hard Boiled is the movie that made me fall in love with the guy.
Okay. Is it a Chinese movie or an American movie?
All those movies are Chinese. Most of them have Chow Yun-fat, the actor Chow Yun-fat.
Okay, that's right. I remember that now.
Who was supposed to be in Face Off. But wasn't able to because he had some other commitments going on. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But the movie Hard Boiled, after that, America was like, hey, let's give this dude some work. So John Woo came over to America. The first movie he made over here was Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
Decent. Not great. Later would find out that part of the reasoning was, you know, when you come over to America, you start making American movies, there's a lot of studio interference. And so, you know, didn't really go the way he wanted to. I mean, still very fine, very serviceable action movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Hard Target first, then Broken Arrow with John Travolta and Christian Slater. That's the one where they steal a nuclear warhead. I liked that one. That one was fun. Then he got Face Off and he didn't want Face Off. He was just like, eh, like I'm good. Like, cause even with Broken Arrow, studio interfered a lot.
Right.
They said, hey, do this, make this happen, cut this, make this. And he's like, I don't want to, like,
damn Americans.
I kind of want to do my thing, you know? And then they gave him Face Off and they said, do whatever the fuck you want. And he goes, okay.
And boy, did he deliver.
Uh-huh.
Damn. Good for him.
So we got, you know, we got Nicolas Cage. We got John Travolta. They are switching faces, switching bodies, sort
of. By the way, we need to address this because I was wrong about this movie all this time.
Okay.
So I thought the plot of this movie was that it was like a once upon a time in Mexico thing, where I thought Nick Cage catches Sean Archer and purposefully cuts his face off to assume his identity.
Ah.
That's what I thought the movie was about.
Okay.
So I was kind of shocked at the actual plot in the movie, which is that Sean Archer is trying to figure out where this, like, what is it, like a nuclear, like a chemical bomb or whatever that's over Los Angeles, right? And he's trying to figure out where this bomb is, so he purposefully does this surgery to be able to get answers from his brother who is in prison.
Oh,
see, okay. I did not know that that was the deal.
Okay.
I thought it was like a forced operation.
Gotcha.
By the way, the brother of Nick Cage is the dude who played Billy in Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, is that right?
Just letting you know.
Oh, I'll be goddamned.
I thought he did a fine job in this film as an oddball.
So, quick aside, mm-hmm. the Jurassic Park 3, my least favorite Jurassic Park movie, just because I haven't seen the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So, is the new one worse than Jurassic Park 3?
Yes.
Holy fuck, I'm never going to watch
it. I don't mind Jurassic Park 3, even though it was definitely the worst of all of them.
It was the worst of all of them, and Taya Leone sucks.
What did she do?
She was the mom in that movie.
Yeah. I know that, but why does she suck?
Because she just
sucks.
Did
she do something?
No, she just sucks.
You just don't like her?
I don't like her.
You don't like her stupid face?
Don't like her stupid face. Don't like her stupid... I don't like her jerk-off face. I don't like her jerk-off attitude. I don't like her.
She wasn't believable with William H. Macy. She was not believable.
I would believe her getting eaten by a dinosaur.
Well, she didn't get eaten, unfortunately.
That's why that movie sucks.
Yeah. But no, the new one is worse than Jurassic Park 3.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Well, here's a little bit more face-off, getting back to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
might be getting a sequel.
Are you happy about that, or are you sad about that? Do you know who would be behind it? Do you have any idea?
So they announced it back in 2019, like a couple years ago, mm-hmm. like pre-pandemic stuff. So I don't know if this is still ongoing or if it's or what's going to happen with it. But I was like, do we really need one? Like, would they update it? Would it be a direct sequel, like one of those legacy movies? Like, how are they going to do this? And apparently it's going to be like a direct sequel to this one.
Are we going to bring Nick Cage back? Like, we kept him alive in this movie. Like, at first he was like a vegetable. Then we have the surgery and then he like pops back to life.
Right.
Which is absurd. But it kickstarted the old heart.
I don't know.
So have we been secretly keeping him alive?
Maybe.
That I would believe it.
So the original, we'll talk about the whole movie here in a little bit, but the original ending, the way that John Woo wanted it. So... he gets home after the events of the movie. He's him again, quote unquote.
Sean Archer.
He gets home and he's like hugging the wife, hugging the kid, you know, and then like catches his reflection in a mirror and then it's Nick Cage. So, and then it smash cuts to credits, like a little ambiguous ending.
I thought we were going to get an ambiguous ending and we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been amazing.
That's about the only thing that the studio was just like, maybe switch that up a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, so maybe we get, you know, if John Travolta returns, maybe the events of this movie have fucked him up a little bit. Maybe he's got Castor Troy in his head. Maybe that's how Nicolas Cage returns.
Maybe he's going back and forth and then we see the psyche portrayed by Nick Cage in the room with him.
Yeah.
I could go for that.
Another little bit for you. What would you think of this? Originally, the script for Face Off was a more futuristic movie. It was set kind of like in a more distant future setting, more sci-fi. So they would have made that procedure like maybe a little bit more believable. It's like, oh, it's the future. They can do that shit now.
I was curious how far into the future we were with this. But then I was like, everything else is still the same. So maybe this, I kind of liked it because it's like, maybe they can do this shit behind the scenes and they won't let us know that they can, right? So like, I was like, I like that element of it too.
Yeah.
You know? But I was curious if it was supposed to be like, I assume it's supposed to be in the future we have this technology, but I feel like I liked it the way it was and not if it had been a totally different, it made it more real because everything else was like, as I know it. Does
same.
That make sense?
Yep. Right. Same. Mm-hmm. So I remember seeing this movie when it came out. Again, 97 would have been the year I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. All my friends were like, oh, we gotta go see fuck Face Off. This looks like fucking awesome.
Right.
And the conversation point between me and my friends was always, well, wait a minute. Like, if you put Nick Cage's face on John Travolta and vice versa, like, John Travolta, pudgier, he's got this chin.
He got that big face.
I got that big face. Yeah. Like what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then they explained it all with, like, one stupid line of dialogue, and every single one of us were like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're gonna laser off the baby fat off you.
Right.
We're gonna suction this thing. We're gonna put this. It's science, bro. Right. We're like, okay, yep.
And then when they're putting the face on, they just massage it into place.
Yeah.
And at one point, yeah. I was like, is that all it takes? Is that all?
Right. Yep.
Because again, like, I'm like you. Now this, because you know me, I will catch on to one simple thing and I'll be like, nope, don't accept it. This movie's trash, right? Just some dumb thing that I'm like, won't accept, you know? Like, I wouldn't accept the tiger in The Walking Dead, which is full of zombies, but the tiger I would not accept. This is one of those movies where I could have gone, this is bullshit, fuck this movie. But I believed every part of this movie.
Uh-huh.
I literally believed. Now, there are many questions I have, don't get me wrong. Like, there's so many, like that of like, bone structure and his fingers with the ring and like body hair. Like, I have so many questions, but again, totally believed it for this movie.
On it. Yep. And like, oh, wait, what, how does he sounds different. Oh, we put a little chip in
there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that checks.
Yeah.
That checked.
Yep.
Because vocal cords can be manipulated. No probs.
Sure can. Just, like, don't hit it too hard and you'll be just fine.
Don't sneeze.
Yeah.
But yet you've gone the whole movie where you're, like, gooing action. You're getting hit. You're firing off guns. No probs. We don't have a glitch until right at the end.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now we're good.
But I believed it was so wild. It's such a wild concept.
Uh-huh.
Like, the concept is more wild of him voluntarily using this technology than for him to have been caught and forced into it. So it's like already so wild. You're like, well, I'm here.
Yep.
I'm in. You see Nick Cage prancing around? I'm in. I'm done.
Uh-huh.
You got me. Yep.
Now, when you go into a movie that you have never seen, we talk about for this podcast, you do very little pregame research.
If even.
You never watch trailers.
Nope.
This movie, to me, this would have probably come out in like 96. The trailer for this movie fucking hooked the shit out of me.
Okay.
Because a lot of trailers, you know, you get like, you know, coming next year to cinemas, brah, a big action piece, loud trumpet horns, whatever. And they show you all the big action in the movie, right?
Uh-huh.
The trailer for this movie, still to this day, I remember sitting in a theater.
Shit, I should have watched it.
Oh, I'll put it up. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll already be put up.
Okay.
On the Huntsville Home Video Facebook page. But the trailer is just John Travolta, and he's sitting in a chair in a dark room. So this wasn't in the movie either. So he's like,
oh.
He's like, I've followed Caster Troy forever, and I'm trying to find him. I know every tick, every mannerism. And the camera's slowly like circling around him.
Uh-huh.
And so the camera goes behind him while he's still talking. And he's like, in order to catch him. And then the camera like comes back around and it's Nick Cage. And he looks right into the camera. He's like, I will become him. And I'm like, oh shit.
Oh!
I'm like, what is this?
That is brilliant marketing.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Whoever does that? Why do trailers not do that now?
It's called a teaser for a reason.
Right.
You're supposed to tease.
That's fucking brilliant.
Not give you everything up to the fucking elbow.
God, I hope whoever came up with that got a raise.
Oh, that trailer is fucking something special.
Oh, I wish I'd have seen it. Oh, man, I can't wait to watch it after this.
It's such a good trailer, and I still remember it.
Right.
And it showed, like, no action from the movie. It showed nothing from the film.
Didn't need it.
And then, like, later on, you know, found out, like, hold up, this is a fucking John Woo movie? Oh, shit. Because this would have been...
So you were aware of John Woo before you went into this
movie? Yeah, because this was creeping up on, like, peak Jack Spade cinephile time.
Ah.
Yeah.
The one I'm glad I never met.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because I was that insufferable prick that was just like, all right, guys, I know we loved Face Off. Why don't we come over and check out Hard Boiled, which I have on like bootleg VHS.
Let's watch a movie that we have to read.
I mean, there was that. Subtitles were a thing. But you know what ain't subtitled?
Huh.
Action, baby!
Yeah, 90s action, baby!
Oh, shit. And I'm telling you right now, like, some of the shit that's in this movie that probably had you jumping out of your seat, that had you going, oh, fuck, oh, shit, oh, goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
Turn that shit up to 11 in Hard Boiled.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, Hard Boiled, like, some of the scenes in The Killer and A Better Tomorrow. I mean, some of the shots are basically just taken straight out of other movies. Like John Woo loves the back-to-back, you know, there's something separating mm-hmm. the two, the antagonist and the protagonist, something separating them, and then they turn and face each other.
Right.
Like, a lot of that. Literally,
I loved that with the mirror when they're kind of looking at each other's reflections, but they're on each side of the, you can see that they're on each side of the mirror.
That's that John Woo
shit.
Like I said, when they, you know, shoot a couple times and then I got to do a somersault.
Yes, there were so many flips.
Yeah, a lot of that.
I wanted to bring that up because I was like, every time I turned around, they were flipping over something. Uh-huh. I was like, that's got to be a John Woo.
So there's a lot of that.
The side jumping.
So much of that.
Yeah.
That's that John Woo shit.
Uh-huh.
There's one bit. So the character, Inspector Tequila from Hard Boiled, played by Chow Yun-Fat, he does some crazy shit. One of my favorite shots in Hard Boiled is he's at the top of the stairs. And he just, like, leans over the railing.
Uh-huh.
So his back is on the railing, and he's sliding down the stairs, two guns just firing, pop, 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 pop.
That is legit.
It's that John Woo shit, baby.
There was a point in this movie, and I didn't want to tell you, because you will tell me everything that's wrong with this statement, because these two people are not supposed to be equated together.
Okay.
But, like, there was one point where I was like, Michael Bay can suck John Woo's dick. I think it was probably the end with the boats.
Okay.
I thought Jack Spade will find so many flaws in that statement, but just take it as it was.
So
of me not being educated.
They are both very famous action directors.
Right.
In my opinion, they just have a different style of action.
They have a different way of portraying it. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I totally understand, but I remember that popping into my head going, suck his dirt. I'm like, Jack Spade's gonna hurt her.
No, I can accept that.
Yeah.
I can move on from that.
Okay, all right, good.
I love them both as filmmakers.
No, they are both good. They are both good. Michael Bay doesn't deserve that.
Michael Bay had some clunkers. John Woo has had some clunkers.
Right.
So there is that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, of the American era John Woo flicks, Face Off, definitely my favorite.
Okay. Was that probably his biggest one, do you think?
I think his biggest grossing movie, Mission Impossible 2.
That's right.
I think
one of those that I've never seen.
I think that was his biggest grossing movie of the American stuff.
Okay.
And then he had a couple clunkers in there. He did another one with Nicolas Cage called Wind Talkers, which wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we mentioned it briefly last week. There's a Ben Affleck one called Payback. Uma Thurman was in that too. Also mm-hmm. not great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, kind of that early, like the Hard Target, Broken Arrow, Face Off. That was
okay.
That was that. And then he kind of went back to China, did some stuff. And it was announced probably a little over a month ago, 2 months ago, that he is actually going to remake The Killer. Which is interesting, an interesting choice.
That was one of the Chinese films.
The Chinese films
that he
yep.
made. Is
yep.
he going to make it for United States? Or
yeah.
Is okay.
It's going to, I think it's either on Peacock or Paramount Plus. It's going to be a flick for that.
Hmm.
John Woo about 75 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know why I didn't expect that.
I mean, time is linear, but whatever.
Whatever.
yeah, and Chow Yun-Fat not going to be reprising the role in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Killer, pretty sweet. It's about, so this hitman, he's out on this job, and he inadvertently blinds, like, he fires a gun, blinds this like lounge singer. This you know, she's like, oh, she was so young, she should have had a future, and he feels super guilty about it. Mm-hmm. And he tries to make right by it.
Okay.
And then while this is going on, people above him are just like, oh, well, he's a liability now. We got to kill them both.
Ah, oh, damn.
Shit then goes down.
Shit goes down.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you develop a heart for them bitches.
In fact, Nicolas Cage's sweet, sweet mustache in the opening credits of this movie.
Okay.
Inspired by the character from The Killer. He has a sweet stash at one point.
Okay.
Little nod. That was Nick Cage's way of paying homage, since he thought he was going to be working with Chow Yun-Fat in this movie, and then later was not. So.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like the way Nick Cage thinks from mm-hmm. time to time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you say? Should we start breaking down the finer points of Face Off?
Let's fucking do it, shall we?
Let's jam, motherfucker!
Okay, well, this movie starts off great. There's a dead child.
Which was the text that you sent me. Very rarely do you send me texts. We don't talk about the movies beforehand, but I just got a text last night that just said, well, 10 minutes in, this movie has a dead kid. I'm already in. I'm like, yep, that's Leanne Foster. That's some real friendship
That is some real friendship, although I did feel bad. It was very sad.
It
was sad, but I thought, I'm going to do this for comedic effect. No, the movie starts off with, and I would love to see something about honestly, I think I would like a prequel of the history between Nick Cage and Sean Archer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they have some history to the point where Nick Cage, Castor Troy, is trying to kill Sean Archer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he shoots the bullet, it goes all the way through and it hits the kid and the kid dies. It is very sad.
Murdered on a carousel at a fucking carnival.
Bad day.
Bad day, yeah.
So that happens 6 years later. Nick Cage, Castor Troy, is the most amazing smoking dancing priest I have ever seen in my life. And that is when I texted Jack Spade again for, I think, 2 of 3 text messages that was like, I totally understand now what you mean about Nick Cage being unhinged and off his rocker.
Just over-the-top, scene-chewing Nick Cage.
And you really don't get a lot of it in this movie because they have swapped, and John Travolta kind of takes over that role.
Mm-hmm.
But for that moment of him smoking is that when he has the stash, or the stash is gone then?
No, the stash is gone. Stash he just has gone, that in the opening scene.
He's dressed as a priest. He is smoking, and then they're setting up like what you assume to be a bomb because it's got a timer. And then he just comes out, and the choir is singing and he's dancing and he's feeling up the girls and it's just like, what the fuck is going on? It was so damn good.
Uh-huh.
It was perfect. I could have watched hours of that, but I'm happy with what I got.
Yeah, because we really only get about 15, 20 minutes of that Nick Cage in this movie.
Really? You do? And then he changes into an amazing wardrobe.
Yeah.
With his two pistolas.
Uh-huh.
And he hops in a plane with men, including his brother.
Before he hops in that plane, though, when he gets out of his car.
Yeah.
That is how you make a fucking entrance.
Isn't that where they take his coat off or they put him in another
like,
coat?
Yeah, he like opens the door and the bottom part of the trench coat just comes.
Yeah.
Pushing billowing up. Out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Perfect word. Billowing out of the from above the car. It's all in slow motion. Like sunglasses and trench coats. That's that John Woo shit, baby.
That the slow motion in this movie is optimally used.
Another John Woo staple.
I feel like you can fuck up a slow motion, but damn, they did not in this movie.
John Woo is a big fan of, he'll hit the slow-mo like right when a bullet hits.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants the maximum impact of like, oh, this is a dude getting shot and mm-hmm. I want you to see this. And and he does it in such a way that even though he goes back to that well like many times in a movie, like mm-hmm. every time he's like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it quick cuts to like pop, 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 like action, action, action. And then bam, like we're focused again on this individual. Here's the slow-mo, like bullet just like hitting this dude in the ear and blowing his ear up.
Right.
Getting shot in the chest, getting whatever.
Right.
Yeah, John Woo is a master at that effect. Mm,
so good. So everybody gets on a plane, and before the plane can take off, here comes Sean Archer because he's been searching for this guy for the last 6 years, right? Killed his kid. So we get this amazing, fantastic double gun shooting action. We have a helicopter that knocks the damn plane. And like, it's so good, right? Eventually, we catch Castor Troy. And what does he get into? The exhaust of a plane? Isn't that what gets him?
Yeah, they're in...
The hangar.
Yep.
And then somehow he gets into the range. I can't remember now, but he gets into the range of the exhaust for a plane, which shoots him back. And we think that he's...
pushes him through this wind tunnel and just like gets caught by the grate at the end of it. You know, probably gets knocked back at like 5 G's.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked him up a little bit.
I thought he was still alive, but then we kind of celebrate as if he's dead. Right. Yeah. And then the case is closed until CCH Pounder, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. My girl is in the movie. So exciting. She finds, and I love when we have, this is so dated. It's so great, but it's the floppy disk, right? I love the thick floppy or the floppy being handed over as like the container of some big diabolical plot.
Well, not only that, but all the computers that are used in this movie.
Nothing's flat.
No. Big, bulky.
It's so good.
The 90s graphics on those things.
I know.
Like even
God,
when
it, I miss it.
Even when an image pops up, like when Sean Archer is going through his case files on his computer, it has that like loading buffer.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, the 90s.
And that was like, I, you know, watching that, if I had watched movies like that as a kid, I'm like, whoa.
Right.
I'll never have access to that. That's amazing. And it's like, look at our phones.
Right.
You know, look what happened.
Our phone has more processing power than this whole movie.
Right. So we get this floppy disk, and it's about a bomb that is going to level L.A. And chemicals, and it is going to be bad.
Yep.
Which also I put here, I was like, I don't have a problem with this. It's fucking L.A.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just think we just let it ride.
Okay.
Right? So the brother is in custody, but he's not talking. We cannot get him to talk. And we try all these different people who are associated with Castor Troy. Nobody is saying a word. So maybe we have to get to the brother a different way. We find out that Castor Troy is not dead, but he is, I can't remember, what do they call him, a turnip? Like he's a vegetable. And he's in a lab where they're making body parts. Immediately making body parts. It looks like a 3D printer looks like nowadays.
That's what I thought too, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got that part right, but not, we can build houses out of those, but not ears. So basically, this doctor comes in and he talks about this surgery that he is able to do, which is to swap their faces so that Sean Archer becomes Castor Troy. He goes into prison and he's able to get the information from the brother.
Yeah, and this is where they threw in that line of dialogue where it's just like, oh, we'll just like, you know, we'll laser off all the baby fat and we'll do this and that. And like I said earlier, that's just like that one little line that took away every little piece of, I'm like, wait, no, I don't know. No, they couldn't. But then they said that. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Because, you know, some little nerdy goofball came in with like binders of shit and was like, we got a problem.
Right.
We got a tad bit of a problem I think we need to address.
Right.
And so, again, I put, this is not what I thought the movie was about. It's awfully drastic. But again, we are in a drastic situation with this bomb, right? So this is where we go through all these suspects. We can't get anything, so he does the procedure. Now, can we talk about the procedure?
We can.
Can we talk about how amazing that sequence was?
You big fan of that one?
I liked it.
All right.
I thought it was great watching it.
Okay.
They lay him down, and we do the laser. I mean, and we laser off these faces, and then again, and then we put them into, I don't know what it is, saline or water or whatever. We put the face, the skin, we peel it off. We put it into like these vats or whatever. And then just swap the other one back on and we massage it into place. And somehow the chin is a different chin and the cheeks are a different cheek.
And we laser the hairline. We get that awesome fucking 90s Caesar cut.
Oh, my God.
For old John Travolta.
Right. Which also never grew during the movie. Somehow he never grew hair until right at the end.
Right.
But, you know, again.
Whatevs.
Whatevs, bro.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great sequence. And I put here, I'm like, Also, how is it reversible? How can the body go through? Oh, and then they also make a claim of like, oh, you know, we can just heal it, zip zap, no problem.
Yep.
You don't have to, you're not going to have any swelling. You're not going to have any downtime. We're just going to swip swap your face.
And then the way that they show that is the guy that's getting the new ear. They're just lasering the scar away.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the scar is gone.
Uh-huh. Lasers, man.
Yeah, dude.
Invest. They're going to be huge. Uh-huh.
It's the future is now.
And now I thought what a big plot twist was going to be that the doctor somehow worked for Castor Troy.
But that didn't happen.
No, but I was thought, oh my God, this is where the swip swap's going to happen. But it did not. So, this is ridiculously impossible, but it's amazing. So I'll
be perfectly honest with you. I knew that like 30 minutes into this movie, I mean, that's a Lely movie. To a T, you were going to be all on board for that. Uh-huh. This is around the part where I thought you were going to be like, wait, what the fuck?
I told you.
But then you'd be back on board.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So.
Again, I never even went that far as to like, what? I was just like, I have many questions that I know will never be properly answered. But let's see how this goes. Right? So we do the surgery. He is now Castor Troy, and we have 6 days to figure out where this bomb is. And he goes to a prison. This was very futuristic prison, like, right? And I thought also, why haven't we adopted this, though? The metal boots. Can we talk about the metal boots?
That was pretty dope.
I feel like that's very dope, and I feel like that's perfect for a prison setting.
Yeah.
Slow them down a bit. Just weight them down.
Yeah, and they get out of line. You can just lock them down. Magnetized boots.
Yeah, magnetized boots. Everything is metal, and then whenever there's a problem, you just lock it down, and the boot, you can't move the boots. You're stuck in place. I think that's absolutely brilliant. So he gets into this prison, and I love the process of it's Sean Archer, who looks like Castor Troy. He gets in this prison. There's people he doesn't recognize because he's not lived Castor Troy's life before, but he has to start start acting like Nicolas Cage would, right? Uh-huh. And I feel like he does a pretty good job. Like, and I like the process of him starting to go, oh, I have to act crazy. Like, this guy I've been literally chasing for more than 6 years.
Right.
Like, I thought that was really well done. And so he is able to kind of infiltrate, and I believe he ends up getting the information. But then we get a shot of what I thought was so fucking wild. Because of the surgery, Castor Troy wakes up while Sean Archer is in prison with his face on. And Castor Troy is without a face.
Yeah.
And he's awake because they never swapped faces at this point, right? Holy shit. And they kidnap the doctor to finish the surgery. And when they bring the doctor in, because this was my last text message to you about it. He is sitting there. We see him from behind. He is sitting there smoking a cigarette without face skin.
Yeah.
And like we get short little glimpses of it, but not enough. And then eventually he walks up to the doctor and we see his reflection in the glasses, which I thought was amazing.
Some of that John Woo shit.
Is that some John Woo shit? That is primo shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Castor Troy just sitting there watching video of the procedure.
Yes, he finds out what's happened.
Dived real hard into them painkillers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that shot of from the back of him just in the chair, like what? That's such a great villain.
Yeah.
Madman shot, you know, where he's watching the screens and he's in front of the light, but he's just sitting there. But to imagine not having a face and you're just smoking again. Lots of questions, but they don't matter. They just don't matter. So he makes the doctor swap the face. This is then where Sean finds the location of the bomb. And then this is where Sean Archer comes to the prison, right?
Yep. This is the big reveal.
The big reveal. That reveal of him walking in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
And I gotta say, immediately, John Travolta does a pretty good Nick Cage.
I was going to say, this is where I have a question about how they shot this movie. Did they have Nick Cage do it how he would do it, and then Travolta imitated him? Because it's so spot on, and I was not expecting John Travolta to be as good in this movie as he was.
No, apparently Nick Cage and John Travolta just hung out for 2 straight weeks.
Okay.
Picked up on each other's little mannerisms, right, and whatnot.
Because I think John Travolta, which maybe he had more flamboyant material to work with.
Yeah.
But Travolta did a better job than Nick Cage did the other way around.
Yep.
But then again, Sean Archer's very simple.
But yeah, very, you know? Yeah, very, you know,
sad guy who's Boy Scout. He's on a mission. Like, it's pretty much it. So, but I was so surprised to see how, not that I doubt John Travolta's acting skills at all, but I was not expecting him to do it in such a great way. And then even when he's not all out, when he's just trying to be in normal life, like when he's at home or he's at the office, he's subdued it enough to be like, it looks like a guy who's really trying to be someone else, but who's just, their movements are just different. I thought it was so well done.
Because even when John Travolta is Sean Archer in the beginning of the movie versus when he's trying to be Sean Archer as Castor Troy or whatever, like, it's, the movements are different. The facial tics are different. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, well, fucking right on,
it's,
man.
It's so good.
Job. Yeah.
It's just, it's like that undeniable stuff. Like, you can't, everybody moves a certain way and you can't change that about yourself unless you're really, so it's like he would be Sean Archer, but he would be moving like Nick Cage, like Castor Troy. Like, it was just so good.
Well, even in, so John Travolta, I guess preemptive spoilers, is the villain in Broken Arrow.
Okay.
And he does end up to be, you'll kind of become that over the top, not like in this movie over the top, but just like the scenery chewing. I've got a one liner for this. I've got, you know, like he becomes that character in Broken Arrow.
Okay.
And he does that here, but he does that while channeling Nick Cage, which is just, it's so different than what he did in Broken Arrow, and I fucking loved it here.
Yeah, no, it was so good. I just, again, I was not expecting it to be done in such a good way. Again, no doubt on Mr. Travolta. I like John Travolta, but so he now's like, look, I've killed everybody that knew about this procedure. You're not going to get out of prison. I am going to assume your life. I am going to take your wife. I like everything, right? He releases his brother from prison. And then he ends up figuring out where the bomb, they end up going to get the bomb because now he's going to be the big hero.
Yep.
Now he's on the good guy side. So now he's going to infiltrate the good guys and he's going to be the ultimate good guy. So he stops the bomb. The whole seduction of Sean Archer's wife was so cringy.
Wasn't
and uncomfortable
it,
was it not? I mean, the way he walks into that house and the way he is with that wife, like, it's just, it's a lot. And then later with the daughter, like, it's a lot. I mean, just what a creep Castor Troy is, man.
There was one scene like a few minutes back where, you know, the brother has been released. He's like, quote unquote, cutting a deal where they're trying to find the bomb. My buddy Chris, who's a big fan of John Woo, like we talk back and forth about Woo flicks, like movies in general all the time. But this one scene in particular where the chief comes bursting in, he's like, what the hell is this? What are you doing with his brother in here? And then like John Travolta just looks at him. He's like, hey, fresh tactics, and just gives him a little wink while he sips his coffee.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like just little nuances like that, little ticks like that, the kind of shit that we eat up.
Yeah.
That becomes so ingrained in our personality because we don't have any of our own. That's the kind of shit that we pull out here.
I feel like you've said fresh tactics many a time, so then let's see. So we have the seduction of the wife. Also, another part is when he's going through the drawers and he finds the picture of the kid that he killed and he's almost like he just doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Like it just to prove like this guy's really fucked up and off his rocker. Eventually, thank goodness, the real Sean Archer makes it out of this prison. Lots of great action in this. Lots of shots. And I love in this prison, like there's screens everywhere of like these tranquil settings, you know, or whatever. And like that all gets destroyed and you see how shitty this fucking place is. And he finally gets out and he jumps. It's in the ocean. This prison is in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he jumps off and we think he's dead. And I'm going to say here, he is not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a movie.
I mean, it would have been a very different movie.
Right? It would have been.
How fucked would that have been, though, if, like, holy shit, he really did die, and then the rest of the movie is just Caster Troy as Sean Archer doing scandalous shit?
Oh, man, that would have been great.
That would have been cool,
that
too.
That would have been super cool. Damn. Now I'm pissed we didn't get that movie. Eventually, Sean Archer, the real Sean Archer, gets word to his wife that, look, this is what happened. Everybody who knows about it is dead. I can't prove it, but this is what happened. And I thought, oh, she's not going to do what she needs to do. But luckily, the wife actually works out in this movie, thank God. Right? So, let's see. And I think this might have been the place where he says that the blood is going to be what tells, because they have different blood types.
Yep.
Right? So, eventually, Caster Archer goes to his buddies that he knows, a lot of the people we saw at the beginning of the movie, right? Including this crazy bald guy and a woman with a child. And they're going to get Sean Troy. Like, now the thing is, we got to go get Sean Troy, right? Because he's acting like they're going after him. And then this is when we have this amazing scene where he's on some drugs. Yep. And he's like, I'm going to take off his face, or you know the exact words better.
I want him to take, after we catch him, I want you to take his face off.
And he grabs like his face, and just the way he does the hand motions.
Like he's throwing away a tissue.
Like he's throwing away a tissue into the air. It's just like, I want to take off his face. Yeah.
Boss, you want to take his face off?
Mm-hmm.
Take his face off. No more drugs for that man.
No more drugs. And then later on in this scene, we realize that the woman with the child, the young child, Adam, it is Caster Troy's son. And we have a bit of a sad moment where Sean Archer calls him Michael, wasn't it?
Because yeah,
that was the name of his son.
Name.
And it was very sad.
Does that weird face touching thing?
I was going to get into that at some point because I couldn't take that.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
No.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of that at all. Of course, we went through a pandemic where shit's on you. I mean, shit is on your hands.
Yeah.
Your hands are filthy. Quit touching your face.
Keep your hands to yourself. Yeah. Don't touch my face. Keep off of my face.
Ah!
Also, we need to comment here. How very meta you are today, because your face is literally peeling off.
Oh, my God. Fucking freak face today, as they've been calling me in the office. Your girl got a very bad sunburn over the 4th of July weekend that is now peeling, and it has been bothering me all day. I am itching everywhere, and now my face is literally peeling off. I am literally face off today. There are several layers that are just popping off.
I just thought you got super method for this podcast review.
Just went in there, started scraping my face.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to take off my face.
Like, you just watched this movie last night, set an appointment for a chemical peel today. You just went in. Yeah, Doc, I'm reviewing Face Off, so I need you to take my face off.
Say no more, ma'am. We get this all the time.
All the time. Since 97. Since the summer of 97.
No, I got badly burned. Did you see me with my sunburn?
I did.
Have we seen each other? Okay. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. I thought it was going to blister.
Very rosy faced you were.
Oof, man. So anyways, yeah, it's coming off. It's coming off a storm. Terrible. So I'm leaving like gross flaky pixie dust wherever I go. I looked down earlier because like I hate it, right? I feel like it's gross, you know? Like, and I looked down. I was typing. I looked down earlier and I was like, it was all over my chest. I was like, what the fuck is happening to me? Like, this is disgusting. You're gross. You don't need to be any more off-putting than what you are. And now your face is flaking off.
See, now I just have this image of you rewatching Face Off again, like Caster Troy did when he was in the hospital, just in your apartment, surrounded by your Golden Girl shit, with your face peeling off, smoking a cigarette.
Just peeling off, like, big sections of skin.
Leanne, what are you doing in here? What do you goddamn think I'm doing in here?
So anyways, while Sean Archer, the real Sean Archer, is in this bad boy lair.
Every time you say the real Sean Archer, I expect you to continue it with, will the real Sean Archer please stand up?
I mean, I can next time.
That's okay.
I'll try to remember it.
All right.
He and the FBI show up, and we have a big shootout, baby, as I put in my notes. Big shootout, baby.
Fuck yeah.
And this is where I love the standoff with them. There's like a mirror in between them. You know, they're kind of trying to find each other in all the chaos. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of FBI agents. And they have this mirror between them, and they're shooting at each other, which was great. Eventually, the real Sean Archer kills Caster's brother. Which is a very sad moment for Caster Troy. And he eventually gets away. Eventually, the wife, she starts to think, you know what, he's been very different lately. He's not like himself. So she ends up, because she's a doctor, by the way. So she ends up getting a sample of blood from her husband, who is not her husband. She finds out with the blood test results who's really who. And I was like, oh, shit, don't fuck this up, ma'am. Do not fuck this up.
Do not fuck this up, man.
Right? So, let's see. Sean, or Caster Troy, the real Caster Troy, stood up and he killed the FBI director. And then this is where we all converge at the funeral of the director. Chef's kiss.
This is primo. This is peak. This is on top of his game, John Woo.
First of all, everybody, it's a funeral at a church. Everybody is in their black suits with their like sunglasses and shit, right? And they go to this funeral, even freaking Sean Archer, who is Caster, you know, as Caster Troy, like everybody goes to this funeral. And this is where we get the most epic slow motion shit of people walking and fucking doves. There's so many doves.
That's a John Woo thing.
Okay, that church
loves him some doves.
I'm telling you what, the only thing that was left in that church after this all was over was bullets and bird shit, because that's all. That's all. So much.
Bullets and bird shit. The John Woo story.
The story of John Woo. There was so much, but it was, I ate it up every time. Ate it up every time. So we go through the funeral, and then after the funeral where everybody's kind of cleared out, this is where Sean Archer, Caster Troy makes his way in. No, I'm sorry. Caster Troy, I knew this was going to fuck me up. The real Sean Archer comes in and he's at the altar, right? He lays his gun down, right? Isn't that who did it? Yeah.
Yep.
And then here comes Caster Troy as Sean Archer.
Because before everyone even leaves the funeral, he has the altar boy
send him the picture of his dead son.
Yep.
Yes. So he knows he's there, right? Caster Troy knows that Sean Archer is there. So then it clears out. Sean Archer comes in, he kind of lays his gun down at the altar or whatever, and then here fucking comes Caster Troy and fucking John Travolta just belting out this fucking Latin. Holy shit, was that great. Oh, just the way he moves, and it's so good. And eventually, we have this 59-person Mexican standoff. Everybody is pointing a gun at the other person. The girlfriend's involved, the girl with the kid, who, if you have a child with Caster Troy, she needed to be way more unhinged than what she was. She seemed like a normal gal, and I'm like, she's too normal.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
She's super hot, though, Gina Gershon.
Very, very pretty lady put together.
Gina Gershon.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very pretty woman, But too normal.
Too
normal for Castor Troy.
Yeah, because you imagine, like, the way you see Castor Troy in the beginning of this movie, he's into some freak shit.
He is into some freak shit. I mean, now, if she's into it, like, good for her.
But she doesn't seem like it.
No. She's not unhinged at all.
Castor Troy just wants to eat a peach for hours.
I was like, God damn.
All right, God damn.
But then he quickly asked that woman to suck on his tongue, and I was like, I'm not here for that.
Right.
I'm not here for that. Go back to the peach, sir.
But what a great swerve, though. Because he lets it hang. He's like, how would you like to suck my, and you know where it's going, but then he goes, tongue. Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Right.
And then just, like, sticks the tongue out.
But then he also kind of rephrased it of like, would you, and then he's like, no, you, like, something about how she would have the honor to suck his tongue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's even more fucked up. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And I was like, go back to the peach. Talk about the peach. So everybody's pointing guns at everybody. And then we get into so many fucking shots. We're shooting over. I love a good church shootout.
Yeah, okay.
You know, hopping over pews and shit.
Yep.
You're in a holy place and you're like rat-a-tat-tat. I mean, it's great. And then we go through this big huge fight and eventually it moves out. The daughter comes up. The daughter gets here and luckily the daughter shoots the wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
The old, no, it's not me. It's him.
Right. Like we got that. And I was like, I've been waiting for it for 2 hours. Also, this movie is over 2 hours.
Yep.
Did not feel like two hours. Nuh-uh. It did not go. I needed more of it. I could have had a 3 hour movie and would have been fine.
Fuck yeah.
Let's see. Sean Astor eventually gets stabbed by the daughter, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, because earlier in the movie...
Isn't that a butterfly knife?
That is a butterfly knife!
We were supposed to have those already.
I know. God, we have failed so hard.
God, that came on so early on. We could have done that.
Yeah, because the daughter comes home. She's got, the cliche douche boyfriend driving the sports car, trying to get fresh. Castor Troy... As Sean Archer comes out protecting the daughter, beats up the would-be rapist, which was also super fitting because that actor was accused of rape.
Yeah, he's the Scientologist guy, that 70s show guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I thought that's who that was. I was like, wait a minute, he rapes in movies and in real life?
Super method.
Whoa, dude, he was just prepping for a role.
I was thinking, watching that movie, I was like, sometimes when you watch a movie... And someone is doing something unsavory, whether it's, they're being like racist, they're being rapist, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, man, you're either a really good actor or you're like that. And it turns out he's just like that.
He knew the moves. He was like, I don't need choreography for this. I understand how this is going to go.
So your motivation here is like, I think I'm good, Mr. Wu.
Believe me, I'm motivated.
I was practicing this last night. Rehearsing my scenes.
That's terrible.
It is.
Shit. So when that happens, when he helps her with the boyfriend, he gives her a butterfly knife and is like, next time stab him in the thigh and then twist it so the wound doesn't close or some shit. I was like, oh, fuck, is that real? I need to write that down.
I need to get a butterfly knife.
Talk more about the knife. Yeah. So she eventually... shoots the wrong one, but then gets caught by Castor Troy, and then she realizes she's fucked up and stabs him in the leg. So he hobbles off. Then we get something I definitely thought we weren't going to get, which was a speedboat chase.
Shit, yeah.
My God.
Did you love every second of this?
We love a good car chase.
Mm-hmm.
I love a boat. I'm never happier than on a boat. So to see... a big chase on a boat made me really, really happy. It's so fast. You have the added element of the water. Muy buena. Chef's a kiss. It was so good. There's explosions. There's then, like, we fucking, like, get onto the same boat, and then we're having a fist fight on a damn boat.
Meanwhile, taking breaks occasionally to course correct the boat.
Yes. It's like, oh, shit, we're going to hit a barge.
Oh, this gives me time to grab an anchor and start swinging it at you.
Oh, my God, yes. It's so good.
Fuck you, yeah,
dude. Like, with a great fight on a boat. Yeah, we're swinging anchors, son. It's so good. And then also we have a point where one of the boats, it like crashes into another boat, but not only does it crash into the boat, but it like uses that boat as a ramp. It like goes all the way through and then it goes and there's a big explosion.
Yeah.
And then we have to correct and go under like a bridge or whatever the fuck that was. Like, holy fucking shit, dude. Fish fighting on a boat. Do you know how unstable you are on a boat? God damn.
And a boat going like fucking 60?
It's going fast, motherfucker. Fuck your no wake zone. We speeding, bitches. We speeding. So we fight on the boat. Then we, the boat blows up. Then we fighting on land again.
Yeah.
And so we're going back and forth, and then finally the real Sean Archer gets the upper hand, right? I think he gets him in the other leg or whatever, and then he's about, what is that, like a spear gun?
Yeah, like harpoon gun or
harpoon
whatever.
Harpoon gun. And so then finally he gets Castor Troy up against this building, and he's about to shoot this harpoon into him, right? And then Castor Troy just grabs it. It won't, the arrow won't go. And he was like, I can't remember what he said to him. It was like, oh, like every time you might have beat me or whatever, but every time you look into the mirror, you're going to see my face. Is that what he told
him?
Yeah. And then he proceeds. Oh, then he proceeds to take like a broken piece of glass or whatever. And he starts cutting into his own fucking face.
Which is technically Sean's face.
Which is Sean's face. But he's like, if you win and you, he knows he's going to die. He's lost the fight. And he's like, you're going to see me. You're going to remember me every time. And he starts slicing into Sean Archer's face. How fucking maniac do you have to be?
Right?
It's such a great villain move. And he starts scarring up his own face before he finally dies. And then that's the end of it.
Gets kicked in the balls. Oh. Let's go with the harpoon gun. Gets impaled on the fucking wall.
He gets impaled on the wall. And then that, finally, we have ended Castor Troy's life. We think. We won't know until the sequel, unless the sequel happens, right? So then we obviously get the surgery to put everything back to where it was. My biggest question with that one was, how the fuck did his hair get back so fast?
Right.
How did his hair come back? His hair ain't grown during the whole movie, and then now he's got a full head of hair back.
They probably put some plugs in there.
Probably, yeah. Maybe. Do you think John Travolta really has plugs in real life?
At one point, I think he definitely
did.
I think he was bald way before he got comfortable with being bald.
Yes, yes. So he gets the surgery. He swaps back and forth. Also, there is no scar on his face. I would have loved to have seen the scar from the knife, at least somewhere on his face.
Okay.
I thought that would have been...
We did see earlier, too, in the movie where they zip-zapped out the scarring.
That's true. That's true. But I would have loved to see that little
scar. Just that little reminder.
Of, like, just a little reminder or whatever. Also, he had the scar from when he got shot where his kid died, and he was like, get rid of that. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he's not carrying that burden anymore. So...
But we ultimately still end up with a reminder of Castor.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Fucking kid.
Yes. I thought it was sweet, though. I was like, I know. But my heart.
Hold up.
I know, but my heart melted. My heart, it got me. I'm sorry. I hate it.
Pump the brakes. Pump them up. We rewind, what are we at?
An hour,
2 minutes. Let's go back an hour and 1 minute to where you were like, 10 minutes in, his kid's dead. I like it already.
Kid's dead. I said even there, I was there for comedic effect. It did get me a little bit. It was sad.
Okay.
It was sad. And then, he comes back to his family. He's greeted very sweetly. And then he just brings this kid and is like, hey, this kid's going to live with us.
Right.
I'm like, first of all, the mom can't say no, because it's like, you can't say no in front of the kid, right?
I mean, you could.
I mean, you technically could, but I was like, did we not have a discussion about this? Like,
right.
I'm glad you're alive and your face is back, but could we not have had a discussion?
I mean, this is a living child. It's not like a stray dog.
Right. But no, it's okay, because they're missing their son anyway.
Yeah.
So he brings in Castor Troy's son, which, and then also, If his dad is that maniacal and that much of a crazy fucker, you know that kid's got those genes in there.
Maybe that's the sequel. It's now been 25 years. Mm. He'll be 30.
There's something in him he can't understand.
Yeah, maybe his face is about to come off. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Mm. Well, anyways, they adopt the kid, Adam, and then that is the end of the movie. And I really thought we were going to get something ambiguous, but we did not. No funny look in the mirror.
No.
No, nothing like that, but no, that is the end of the movie.
Just a pretty straight-up Hollywood ending.
Holy shit balls, man. Was that a fun ride?
I blow your fucking hair back?
It did. It really did. It blew off some of my flaky face.
My own face came off. There's the review on the poster. It's like, I loved it so much, my own face came off.
My own face is off.
Yeah, a lot of memories came back on this one, seeing it in theaters.
God, that would have been a great movie to see in theaters with a group.
It was one of those movies. You see one of those movies where you get some of this action and you get the crowd. It's like, oh, ah, woo. You know, like, and it was a cheering kind of movie.
It was me on my couch for sure, but
oh, I'll bet.
No, it would have.
I now know how you kind of watch movies and how you react to certain things.
Right.
I'm sure there was a lot of that.
There was
going
yeah.
on. Oh, the motherfucker had no face. Oh shit!
This motherfucker smoking without no face. What is the text message that I sent to you? Because I feel like I love the text message I sent to you. What was it? In all caps, I wrote, my man woke up without a face and just decided to smoke cigs till he could get one. I see you, King. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I see you, motherfucker. God damn.
And when I got that text last night, I didn't even respond to it because I was like, you know what? That's how Leanne's watching the movie. I don't even think she knows she's texting. She's just like, oh, shit, I got a fucking text with Jack. Oh, my God. I think
smoking with no face was just like, ah.
Like such great imagery.
Yes. And you don't even get to see it. You just imagine it. And I think that made it 10 times better.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Because when you get a scene like that where they show you the implications of things, mm-hmm. like the, you know, you put more stuff in your head that's actually there.
Right.
Like,
I don't want to see the monster. Let me make up the monster.
Yeah, because even with that little glimpse, I swear every time I see that, oh, you can see the detail of the muscle and mm-hmm. the fucking sinew and all that shit like in his face. But, I mean, you probably really couldn't.
Nope.
Just,
it's really just red.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, but you envision what you have seen probably in a book or whatever, and you just uh-huh. impose that on there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So good.
Oh, man. God, it's so good.
This
movie just delivered everything I needed it to deliver. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
To have wanted to watch it for so long. And I know that sounds dumb to people. It's like, well, why didn't you just watch the movie? It's like, I just, you know, you think of it at times and then you don't think of it anyway, you know, or like when you see it pop up, you're like, fuck, I got to see that. And then, you know, but then to watch it and it be more amazing than what I anticipated it to be.
So
great.
You've talked several times about you watch a movie and you go, oh, this is where that came from. Oh, that's where that came from. Did you have any moments like that where maybe you've seen other action movies? And these would be more subtle references, like more, you know, in the homage sense. But now that you've seen this, you know, so like a movie like Shoot 'Em Up.
Right.
Would you, this is very clearly influenced by John Woo, you know,
yes.
like did you have any of those moments where you're like, oh, fuck, that's. Some John Woo shit.
I think the most that it tied the Shoot 'Em Up was the one I kept thinking of the most because I feel like there's a lot that I saw in Shoot 'Em Up that I saw in this movie. There's a lot of things in this movie that again, this is the only. Wait a minute, did we watch another John Woo movie before? This was it. I feel like because you made such an emphasis of like John Woo has his specific things that he does, and I feel like I probably pointed a lot of them out. Just because they are so different. And I knew to be looking like, again, the slow motion, the double pistols, the action, like the things. I'm like, okay, I figure this is a John Woo trope mm-hmm. that he does. But to say that I was like, oh, from this specific movie or whatever, maybe I just wasn't watching hard enough. But the one I kept going back to was definitely Shoot 'Em Up. And I feel like John Woo probably, again, with my limited knowledge, leaves such a signature on his movies that I was able to pick them out with kind of ease.
There are going to be several action movies, like if you go back to that you'll say, oh, shit, that's some of that John Woo shit.
Okay.
Like,
right.
A lot of homages that mm-hmm. a lot of directors do. A lot of action okay. directors will be like, yeah, John Woo's the man. Like, this mm-hmm. is where that came from. This is where...
I think I will like that. I think I'll see them moving forward. You mm-hmm. know, nothing sparked really immediately, but I think moving forward, I'll definitely be like, oh, I fucking know what that is now.
So based on today's conversation, based on what we've seen and reviewed and discussed, are you now a little more excited to perhaps go into another John Woo flick?
I'm ready for Hard Boiled.
Fuck yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I would like to see... I would be very interested to see how different the stuff he made before this film would be. Like this, like you were talking about the restrictions he had on some of his other movies. I would like to see some the movies he made originally without that kind of got him noticed without those restrictions. That would mm-hmm. be fun to see.
Yeah, John Woo kind of created the subgenre which is referred to as gun-fu.
Nice.
Of just like wild gun action, mm-hmm. you know, those dueling pistols, the side shooting, mm-hmm. the just pure chaotic fucking shootouts.
Right.
Like the shootouts in Face Off are insane. The shootouts in Hard Boiled are fucking psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-minute tracking shot in Hard Boiled that's all action. Remember a movie we talked about called The Raid?
The Raid. I was yeah. just, when you said that about chaotic, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't think about The Raid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now imagine that with more guns.
More guns?
More guns.
Jesus.
Leanne Foster, there are more guns.
There are more? No way.
Just what we need in America. More guns. And they came from China.
We need more guns into the hands of people who can handle them and know how to use them.
Yeah. Like John Woo actors.
Right. Yeah. Those people.
What's super funny is Hard Boiled and the John Woo kind of movies that he did over in China, especially Hard Boiled, came about because he was like, oh, you know what? I love Die Hard and Clint Eastwood. Here's my love letter to that.
Oh, shit.
And then we got Hard Boiled, which
fantastic.
Is fucking insane.
All right, we'll put it on the list. We'll eventually get to it.
Probably sooner rather than later.
That's fine with me.
And here's what's fucking wild to me. This will be a movie that I have to give you my DVD for because it is streaming nowhere. You can't even buy it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not even on iTunes. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this country?
Damn.
In addition to everything else. Like, that's number one. That's my number one gripe about this country. Hard Boiled ain't streaming anywhere.
Why are we limiting China in this arena?
Right? Man. Fuck, I might just spend the next hour talking about fucking Hard Boiled.
Don't, I have to pee.
Okay. Full disclosure, though, I did immediately after I watched Face Off,
mm-hmm.
I dug up my DVD Hard Boiled and fired that up.
Fantastic.
So fucking good.
Good. Still holds up?
Still holds up. Not only that, but it also... got a video game sequel. So imagine all the action that you saw in Face Off, but being able to play that style in a video game.
That would be legit.
Yeah.
Damn, what was that for? Like what?
It was for like Xbox 360, so it was a couple consoles ago.
Son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Miss my old Xbox.
It's fun. Mm. Fun.
Okay.
So give Face Off some stars if you don't mind.
I'm going to be honest with you, which as much fun as I had with it and as much love as I had for it, I'm giving it 5 faces out of 5.
Oh shit, a rare fiver.
I'm
going
to give it a 5. I had so much fun watching it. It was everything I needed it to be. It was a jam. Like, is it the best movie we've reviewed? Probably not as far as movies go, but it's like, I just enjoyed it. It was such a jam.
So is this going to be one that you very, very few movies mm-hmm. have you loved so much that you've gone back and just watched them several other times? Will this be one of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going to be a periodic thing where I'm like, I remember Face Off.
Yeah.
Like, I would buy the DVD right now.
Fuck yeah.
You know? I don't say that about movies often anymore.
No.
So I would go buy the DVD just to have it.
You do also have just a different kind of glow about your persona. It's not just that your face is peeling off.
No, it's the new skin underneath the old skin that's flaking off. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
No, you do have just like this, oh my God, this movie. Because I get that way when I see a movie that I absolutely, like, next level love. I'm
right.
Like, oh, fuck. you know, mm-hmm. and I want to share that with other people.
Yeah.
That's how you are right now.
Yeah.
About Face Off.
I'm really excited. Again, it was just, it was everything I needed it to be, which was super exciting. There was no letdown in there at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you dug
it,
friend.
I'm so excited you remembered that I really, really, really wanted to watch it, and then you made it happen eventually.
Well, I'm so glad that we remembered that it's the 25th anniversary of the summer of 1997.
That's right.
We're watching movies from 97. But now we're pretty much out of summer blockbuster movies from 97.
Ah, damn.
That I've not seen. Because, yeah, you saw, apparently, 97, again, was a banner year for old Leanne Foster.
Was Con Air going to be next? If I hadn't seen it,
I was going to do Con Air this was a very wild time for Nicolas Cage the summer of 97.
I'd say so.
Because he had Face Off, he had Con Air, and they came out within like 2 weeks of each other. And then it just became public that he was about to be Superman.
Oh, I forgot about that whole Superman shit.
Uh-huh.
That never happened, right?
Never happened.
No.
It got close. It got real close. In fact, there is Kevin Smith was involved in that. He wrote the movie. And then obviously the whole thing never ended up happening. And there's a Kevin Smith DVD called An Evening with Kevin Smith,
mm-hmm.
where he's just doing like a Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
And he recounts in great detail his... like why he got brought into the project, how like Nicolas Cage got brought into the project. Mm-hmm. There's even a documentary out about how this movie almost got made and it would have been a fucking disaster.
Oh.
But I still think it would have been kind of fun to watch. There's even images that you can find online of like Nicolas Cage in the suit that they would have used, like the test suit.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Was just the direction not there? Like, just...
It's a long story.
Okay.
I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version of it. But basically, there is this Hollywood producer that he didn't give a fuck about the character of Superman. He
right.
just wanted... like, he told Kevin Smith, he's like, I never want to see him in the suit. I never want to see him fly. I don't, like...
Well, what the fuck else does Superman do? What, do you want the Clark Kent series?
Right?
Well, let's just show him as a reporter.
You would have never seen him fly, but you just see him, like, zip away in a flash. Like, and then he's gone, but you never see him actually, like... flying or
no
whatever.
You need to see him in the air with the cape flapping.
Yeah.
And then this producer
was like, oh, and then in the third act he's got to fight a giant spider. And then it's revealed that the producer of this movie was also the producer of Wild Wild West, where he fought a giant spider.
Jeez, it was, his idea finally got there.
Yep.
I mean, if there's one thing he is, it's persistent.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit.
So yeah, there's a great story about that. But like literally all movie going audiences we're talking about in the summer of 97 was Nicolas Cage, because that Superman shit would have been fucking wild. And Nicolas Cage, huge comic book fan, huge Superman fan. Like his son is named Kal-El. After, you know,
of course he is.
Superman's Kryptonian name or whatever.
I'm seeing him in the suit.
Yeah?
Interesting.
What do you think?
Not digging it.
No?
No, I'm not digging
not
it.
Not a fan.
No, he's too skinny for the suit. His hair is very unkempt. Of course, this is a test. Is this real or is that fake?
That's fake. That's Photoshop.
That's the one.
That's
real.
Well, that's real, but
that's real.
That's the real one right
yeah.
there. The last one was Photoshopped a
right.
bit.
Hmm. He kind of looks like Loki.
He does.
He looks
kinda.
More like Loki.
Looks like, yeah, Tom Hiddleston. Good call. Good call.
Yeah. That's wild. I don't know how I feel about that. That doesn't fit. That doesn't fit.
Well, you did kind of throw my plans off of having a summer of 97 blockbuster retrospective.
I'm so sorry.
And it's okay.
This thing you didn't plan to do that didn't get to be done.
That's okay
because
I got another blockbuster, not from the summer of 97, but we've talked about it before. It's one that you've wanted to see. It's another action movie, another big blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
And I know right before we started recording on this podcast, we're like, oh, let's talk about this one. While we were talking about Face Off, I said, oh, this one's an even better choice. So we're going to save that one that we talked about off air.
I don't even remember.
Good.
Oh, I do remember. Oh, we're not doing that anymore?
We're not doing that one anymore.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
Instead... I am going to give to you a movie with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
A movie with Wesley Snipes.
Oh, fuck.
I'm giving you Demolition Man.
Oh, Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nope, never seen it.
I know. Oh, I remember it.
Oh, like Jack Spade, you were pulling out all the stops for Blockbuster Month.
I fucking love me some Blockbusters, baby.
Baby. I'm down. I'm in. Let's go. Better choice than the other.
Yeah,
now
I
agree. Now that I remember it.
And that will be one of this podcast's great mysteries. What movie was it that they were talking about? Mm. Maybe one day you'll find out. Maybe you never will.
No.
What was in that briefcase in Pulp Fiction? We might never know.
Nope, you might not.
Yep. We'll chat up Demolition Man next week. That's another good one.
I am in for this, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I might, like, even though we might not talk about it for a while, I might just get you my copy of Hard Boiled.
Okay. That's fine. I can go ahead and pre-watch it. Nobody here has to know.
Right.
They don't have to know if I've watched it or not.
That's movie magic.
There might be another movie that I have already watched that we have yet to talk about on the podcast, but we will eventually.
Hmm.
Perhaps. Would I have done such a thing? I don't know.
No, I mean, don't pull
you
that curtain
know?
Back too far.
No, man.
No.
Behind that curtain, a gal with her face peeling. It is not a fun sight for anyone to behold.
I can confirm. I'm out.
It's bad.
I need to get out of here.
Also, I got cocoa butter fingerprints all over everything that I own. Like, I caught the light caught it in my car because it's got that matte plastic there. And I'm like, oh my God, this is disgusting. Like, everything I own is slippery. It's just greasy. You know, look at my keyboard. You can see which, like, I apparently hit the letter S a lot because it's just greasier than the other ones.
You're a fucking train wreck.
It's a mess over here, bro.
Jesus. Well, pull yourself together, Foster.
Look how dramatic a sunburn can make my life. Like,
Jesus.
It's so weird. Like, normal people's like, oh, I got burnt, I peeled, I moved on with my day. I'm like, there's cocoa butter everywhere!
Shit like this makes me wish you had a vlog of some sort. Like, maybe a TikTok feed.
Maybe one of those?
I think you'd be the queen of TikTok.
You know, my sheets are greasy, too, because I've been oiling up with coconut oil.
That was a phrase. You know,
you want me to put that in the beginning?
You know, my sheets are greasy too.
But honestly, what I said is not inaccurate.
Make
they really
that
are.
The Tinder profile.
My sheets be greasy, motherfucker.
Wow.
My sheets be greasy. No, I was just trying not to peel. So I've been lathering up. And oil. It didn't help. It all soaked into my pillowcase, I guess.
My face has still come off. God damn it.
Greasy
Facebook,
freak face.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Follow us.
At HSV Home Video.
Jesus Christ, you could have like a million followers if you were on TikTok with this greasy sheet.
I realize
story.
This. Yeah. I realize it. It's not a joke. It's a real thing I'm having to go through right
my
now.
My God. Also, follow our show sponsor, Underboss Photography. _photography. Michael just got back from Vegas. I just saw one photo right before we started recording today from Vegas. I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see more of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
So give him a follow for some stunning images.
Wish him happy birthday, too.
Wish him a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, as we're recording this tomorrow night, we're going to go hang out with him, get one of those beers that he had a sweet photo of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I wasn't invited.
You were, actually.
Was I?
Check your text messages. That was sent a week ago.
That's not true.
That is absolutely
that's
true.
Not true.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
That's not true. Uh-uh. Honestly, I don't want to go anywhere.
I mean, look at my face. It's falling off,
Jack. Do you see
Jack.
This face? I am not going in anywhere. I was not a part of this.
We'll see.
There's texts about Elvis. It's fine. It's okay.
Until next week, my friends. Be kind and rewind. Seriously, get that face under control. It's fucked up.
I'm trying.